7 minutes to 10 o'clock on a Thursday morning, and time now for Uncensored with Penny Fourie, brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronic Security.
Hello and welcome to Uncensored, the show where we get straight to the heart of the issues shaping our region. No spin, just straight up honest talk. Joining me in the studio this morning is Warwick Chapman, political analyst and businessman, and also local resident. Warwick's also chairman of the Kwadukuza Residents Forum, or KDRF, a civic organization that represents the entire Kwadukuza community and works hard to ensure transparency and accountability in local government. I'm also joined by community activist and chairman of the Independence Alliance, Komi Nkenko, who also sits in the council at our local municipality. Komi is also a founding member of the Independence Alliance, a party that went on to win 5 seats in the Kwadukuza municipality in the 2021 local government elections. Now, Kwadukuza has been described as a municipality in crisis. The signs of misgovernance in our region aren't just small cracks, they've become gaping holes. And this isn't unique to Kwadukuza. Across the country, we've seen how ANC-run municipalities have been turned into cash cows for politicians. At the lowest level, you might have a party branch member getting a job or pulling strings to swing a tender, and you move up the ranks and the opportunities to benefit only grow. Now, after years of mounting allegations, the Special Investigative Unit, SIU, has finally stepped in and been given the green light to investigate serious corruption allegations at Kwadukuza Municipality. This follows a formal proclamation signed by President Cyril Ramaphosa on January the 27th this year. So what exactly will they be looking at? There's 3 major tenders and whether they were awarded fairly and lawfully. Municipal officials, service providers and suppliers, did they break the law? And financial misconduct, was there an unauthorized, irregular, wasteful expenditure? Now, the investigation covers everything from July 2018 to January 2025, but could expand if they uncover wrongdoings outside that time frame. So it's not just the SIU, COGTA and NERSA will also be running their own probes. And now, Warwick, now you've been part of these discussions with COGTA alongside with DOCRA and other civil society groups and opposition parties. Now, the SIU says that if they find evidence of criminal acts, they'll be handed over to the National Prosecuting Authority for possible prosecution. Do you think it will lead to concrete results, or is this just going to be another investigation that gets buried or fizzles out?
Thanks, Penny. Well, I must first thank DOCRA for spearheading a lot of what you've spoken about. The NERSA involvement is a direct result of their approach, and to some extent the COGTA one as well. And I appreciate being invited to that engagement with COGTA. They took our submission very seriously. They had a deputy director in attendance, paying very close attention to our submission and the details therein. And I think what we can hope for, particularly from the SIU, is that wrongdoing gets uncovered. I suspect that there's enough in KDM that the investigation will be deepened as a result of what's found, both from the SIU's perspective and COGTA. And, you know, corruption and malfeasance is able to flourish in the dark. And so the more of this that happens, the less space there is for those kinds of shenanigans to take place. So I think it may result in the interim, in the short term, in things being tightened up a little in the municipality, which I think is good for us. And we really need it. You know, Penny, yesterday for the first time in a while, I was driving around in South Durban, Umbilo, Glenwood area, that kind of thing.
It's very bleak, eh?
And, you know, I served 2 terms on that council in the late 2000s, early 2010s. And it's really sad. It's incredibly sad. And to some extent, I was relieved to move back to Kwadukuza, back to the North Coast, because I knew that in many ways this municipality was better run and better managed than Etiquini was quickly degenerating into.
And
of late I worry about whether that's still true.
Yeah.
Because the same kind of little things, sidewalks that aren't patched up after work, you can see that it's been like that for an extended period of time because it's all been washed away by the rain. You know, shoddy electricity connection, boxes left open, etc., etc. We're starting to see more and more of that here.
Yeah.
And they're all signs of the ultimate competence of municipalities, which is getting stuff done.
Yeah.
Starting to be degraded in KDM.
And it's the urban decay that has, I almost feel like it's the you know, the chickens have come home to roost, so to speak, because we've been functioning well. Everyone's been saying how good the municipality has been run for a long time. And just in the last while, I think I could even go back to 2019. I've seen a little bit, you know, things slowly, you know, starting to fall apart. Now, Kami, I'm going to bring you in. You've been very vocal about the failures in Kwadukuza Municipality, particularly around cadre deployment and wasteful expenditure. In fact, you were a key figure in bringing attention to the mayor's outrageous vehicle hire costs. Has there been any accountability? Because that, I think, you know, there's a lot of signs of financial mismanagement, and there just seems to be no accountability at all in any spheres of the municipality.
Greetings to you, Penny, and to gentlemen in studio. Greetings to the listeners, back at home. Penny, there is no accountability at this moment in time in Kwadukuza Municipality. But let me first start by saying once in life, you flank yourself with people that are seeking information from you than having people that are flanking you to give you advices, proper advices. You will always drown along the way. This is the biggest mistake that was actually done by, same biggest mistake that was actually done by the former mayor of Kwadukuza Municipality. And we warned her. We said, if you keep on flanking yourself with people that do not have even metric, but their intention is to actually secure their positions, place their family members at work, get tenders, you will drown before your term ends. Yeah. The very same thing that is being done by the gentleman that took over last year in November. We have been warning him with a few videos that we issued out, yes, to say that, look, there are loopholes in this municipality. Before we even swallowed those warnings, money got missing, 35.7 million.
Yeah.
In front of our eyes, in his presence, he has never said anything to the community up until today. No, yeah, media statement from Kwadukuza Municipality that has ever said anything about that. We got some information that there is a municipal car that is being driven around, driving his wife and kids to school. We took a decision to actually follow that up because that car belongs to Kwadukuza Municipal people. It's our money, it's our tax money, it's our rate money that bought that car. It's not his family. So he's got cars that are located to him to perform official duties. A car where we spend around 300,000 rands a month. And here comes KDM2, which is a car that he said is not fit to be used by him due to mechanical problems. Now the car has been allocated to his wife. We said, look, because if we're questioning this thing without any evidence, we'll have a problem. We followed the car. We saw it in Durban, being driven by two bodyguards, driving his wife.
Wow.
We took pictures in Durban. We then came back because we wanted more evidence. We came back early in the morning, about 6 o'clock. I was in Groundville High School, parked an anonymous car. The car came around 7 o'clock. I went inside the school with the car, took a video, took pictures. The same day we posted those videos questioning the use of Kwadukuza car being used privately by his wife and kids.
Sure.
And then we were supposed to have a meeting on Thursday the following day. And then the car was returned to Kwadukuza Municipality around 8 o'clock here. There are so many things that are happening in this municipality.
Yeah.
That we can mention up until the sunset tomorrow.
Yeah, I just want to bring in, you know, the ANC's paid an expensive price for their service delivery failure. I mean, they've taken a massive knock in last year's national and provincial elections. And now, meanwhile, the MK's capitalize on public frustration. Now, Warwick, this is something that I want to draw you in. With the Ward 28 by-elections coming up on April the 2nd, the ANC seems to be in panic mode. I mean, we had this weekend, we had the former Itakweni mayor, Logie Naidoo. Then we had an MEC, Ravi Pillay. And we had senior KDM officials all doing door-to-door. They even were taking pictures of them sweeping the streets. I mean, it was quite comical if it wasn't like this act of desperation. Do you think, if we are we not paying, should we be paying close attention to the MK? And if they win a seat in council, could this possibly signal a real shift in the local political landscape?
Yes, we should pay very close attention to Mkhonto we Sizwe. Absolutely, they are the biggest political force in KwaZulu-Natal, whether we like it or not. So we must pay attention to them. They are contesting this by-election to get things moving. There's no, and Kommie can tell me if he thinks I'm right here, but it's not like winning this by-election is suddenly going to swing things in their favor. They're not going to suddenly be able to control the council, particularly if Kommie and their four seats remain in the coalition. So I think it's just important to get, as an opportunity for them to get MK's name and personalities into the community, and to start flexing their campaign muscles. Remember, in the 2024 general election, they really rode on the coattails of the sort of Jacob Zuma tsunami. And national elections are very, very different from local government elections. Personalities, individual local personalities do matter. Individual candidates do matter. So the MK has to become a better campaigning machine for the local government election, and I think that's what they're busy practicing. And from the little bits and pieces that I see, you know, they know what they're doing. So I think we have to watch them very, very closely. And the scenario that we all need to try and avoid is Mkhonto we Sizwe winning a majority in next year's election, or winning a sufficiently large proportion of the seats in KDM that they are able to form a coalition with others. And I personally am fascinated to hear from Kommie what his position is on the MK, and whether the IA has discussed yet, Independence Alliance has discussed yet, whether they would be willing to work with Mkhonto we Sizwe.
Yes, Kommie, what do you say to that?
Well, it's a difficult question to respond to. Remember, we've had a majority as the opposition side from the time after we voted in 2021. We have more than 30 seats as the opposition side. The ANC has got 29, which is at this moment in time, they are sitting at 28. But we failed to actually make our wheels turn, you know, so that we can sit on the side of our residents, because our residents wants to see Kwadukuza turning around. They are fed up to see what is actually happening. Kwadukuza municipality is actually degenerating. We are racing backward. There is no improvement. But I don't see us working with MK this moment. Remember, this is my view, which I guess maybe some will dispute it. MK is a second hand of the ANC. So working with the MK, I don't think that it will make any difference. In fact, they are ones of those people. They are one of those people who have been in the ANC who failed to actually champion their interest within the ANC. And then what is actually going to make a difference now? So when time comes, we'll see who to discuss with and see how far we can take Kwadukuza municipality forward.
Warwick, you can jump in on that.
So, Kommie is absolutely right. We've spoken on this radio station about after the 2021 local elections that the ANC did not win a majority. They, in fact, are one seat short of a majority in this municipality. And it's only through the support of independent councillors that they are able to vote things through in council meetings. You know, and sometimes the Democratic Alliance and Action SA and other parties also support items, and sometimes the ANC has to go around and convince one or two councillors here or there to support things in council. That's how it works. Yeah. The dynamics are going to shift significantly. One hopes that the ANC and Mkhonto we Sizwe will be fishing in the same pond in 2026. In other words, they will be fighting for 29 seats. One hopes. What one wants to avoid is that Mkhonto we Sizwe is able to win votes away from EFF, Independence Alliance, Action SA, DA. Very unlikely,
yeah.
Right? Because then they become the biggest party in council, and there's then the potential of an alliance with another organization. Now, I think 2026 is going to work out very good for KDM. Let me say that.
Okay. That's very positive. That's good.
I think that what we're going to see is that the ANC gets absolutely decimated by MK, and they know that, which is why they are desperate, which is why you are seeing signs of their desperation. MK is going to be the biggest party, but like we see at a national, at a provincial level in KwaZulu-Natal, they won't have enough support to form a government. The EFF is going to continue to shrink into irrelevance,
yeah.
And it will be a challenge for the independents and the smaller parties in council to retain their seats. I think the DA will grow at the expense of Action SA, who has been relatively silent over the last few years in this municipality. And the real chance exists that the non-MK aligned parties, which may include the ANC after the election, have a really decent majority and are able to form an opposition coalition in this municipality. And the very real prospect exists that the DA will be bigger than the ANC in that coalition.
Yeah. You know, from last year, you know, I thought it would be a big wake-up call when the ANC did so dismally in the elections. And, you know, they would come back and they've got a year to try and to turn things around. And instead, I mean, in the 1 year, we've seen such a, you know, such a dive to absolute decimation. We've got like a 607 million rand salary bill. There was 58 million rand spent on overtime. We've got electricity crisis. They're predicting a loss of almost 400 million rand this year. And, you know, and we've got those things. We lost 300,000 in a heist recently. We had the hack in our, you know, in our systems. So this is a time when they should be redeeming themselves, but it seems like they're actually doing their best to lose their voters. And when people look at the fiscal challenges that we're going to be facing in our region, and they become so disheartened. I mean, I look at this, and every day the news cycle just gets more negative. I just want to say, is there hope for us to turn this around? You know, what is going to, Kami, what is going to make a difference? Because it's almost like the same people who have brought Kodikuza to its knees are the same people that we're looking to take us out of this hole. Do you think, you know, sitting in council and listening to this, that there is hope, is there a shift that can turn us around so we don't go to the route of eThekwini and the other municipalities that have become failed municipalities?
As long as, Penny, we have consequence management in black and white, only kept in our shelves and not being implemented, we'll never see this municipality growing.
Yeah,
this municipality will keep on going going down. It's actually racing backward. There is consequence management. Senior managers are actually doing as they please here in Kwadukuza Municipality. But there is no one is actually holding them accountable.
Yeah.
What are actually doing now, we hoped, due to the presentation that was done by the current mayor after he was elected, that will hold these officials accountable. But what he did, he came, he sat, he saw opportunities, and there is nothing that is happening.
Yeah.
So there is no change that is going to happen in Kwatukuza municipality regarding the service delivery and other things, including corruption. Corruption is still going to go up to worse than it is now. That's what I'm telling you. Service delivery is actually going to be in papers, black and white, that there is this thing that happened in Ward 2. But in terms of the physical or practical things happening on the field, it will never happen.
Yeah.
It will never happen. You have tenders, you have bridges that are worth 15 million rands. But when you go physically to that bridge, you'll see that this bridge was supposed to be constructed for around 1 million rand.
Yeah.
So it's a wasteful expenditure. There is fraud, there is everything. Up until we hold those senior managers accountable, then we'll see this municipality growing.
And Warwick, you know, when you said Cochter and we've got Nursa, we've got the SIU, do you think they've got the muscle now to hold these people accountable if they do find irregularities and corruption in, you know, in the investigations?
Well, hopefully what happens is that enough wrongdoing is uncovered that we can start holding individual officials personally accountable and liable for losses. There is a problem, as Kami has pointed out, with consequence management in this municipality. We've spoken about it many times.
There's never been consequence management, ever.
Well, sure. Not over this period where we've been experiencing these issues.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and we've seen that laid bare in the electricity issues that we've had and maintenance of stormwater infrastructure in Sharker's Head and lots of different examples all over the place. It's unacceptable what happens, but the lack of consequence management means that nobody is taken to task about it.
Yeah.
Okay, in the business world, you know, you get a warning. You get another warning, you're fired, right? And everyone in the business world knows that. But in local government, it seems to be, or in government, it seems to be completely different, because no manager wants to issue a warning, so consequence management never starts, right? So what we can hope for is that the municipal manager gets taken to task, because there's more than enough that we all know, that we've discussed on this radio station, that the municipal manager is accountable for, and almost certainly in the case of the CFO fiasco, personally liable for that wasteful expenditure. So if that is investigated, hopefully the SIU can prepare a strong enough case for prosecution, and then someone gets taken to task. And until the municipal manager starts facing consequences, nobody else is going to be worried. The MM has to face consequences. Otherwise, from the top down, there is no consequence, threat of consequence in the municipality. So COGTA can help steer the SIU in the direction that they need to be. COGTA itself doesn't have too many teeth. You know, the municipality has to get to a point where it is so fundamentally dysfunctional that COGTA takes action to step in and take over. We're not there by a long way, right? But they can uncover things that need deeper investigation. The SIU can do that. They can prepare cases. They can brief the NPA. The NPA can prosecute, and things can start getting moving. Yeah. And then on the NERSA side of things, obviously, there's a standard that network operators are required to meet in order to run electrical grids in South Africa. And the exercise is going to be to assess whether or not KDM is maintaining that standard and the levels of maintenance expenditure and the regulation of voltages and all that kind of stuff is going to be assessed. And then again, hopefully, there are some recommendations around consequence management.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, the electricity department's been losing hundreds of millions every year. And, you know, I almost feel like NERSA is only stepping now. They should have stepped in long ago. But, you know, with COGTA, I know the new MEC, Mr. Buthelezi, who took over from, you know, Bongiwe Sithole Moloi. I mean, she was, heavily criticized for inaction. The DA MEC, Martin Mayer, he even called her inept. He said she only takes notice when it suits a party's agenda. So I'm hoping that Buthelezi has, you know, the teeth to take this and make an example of what happens when there's such a maladministration. And Kwame, have you got anything else to add to this?
Yeah, well, what I can say for now is that I had the gentleman next to me making some analysis about 2026. One thing for sure that I can say is the Independent Alliance will grow. Those 5 seats are 5 seats that we canvassed in less than 4 weeks.
Yeah.
We managed to get 5 seats.
Yeah.
The means of the Independent Alliance to work are very silent, but we know how to work the ground.
Yeah.
Our aim is so high, and we know why we have that aim. We see DA growing, but not above 10 seats. We see MK growing, but not as they, you know, showed to the people of Guaduguza in year 2024, national government elections. That was just a punishment towards the ANC. Now it's local government. It's a reality. We're voting for people that we know.
Yeah.
In our societies, it's a different case. Well, even if, like, you know, what 28 do get won by MK,
yeah.
It is correct that there is nothing that is going to be changed in Guaduguza municipality beside the havoc.
Yeah, and you know, I just have to appeal to the ANC leadership. Please do not sweep streets. It's not winning you voters, okay? You know, people come, take their parcels, eat their lunch, and then they post those videos on social media, and it's a little bit, it was just very sad. And you know, I just want to say, Warwick, you know, I met Kwame a long time ago. Just was it 2019? I was covering the breakdown of Tongaat Hulett's sugar mills, and I went to Darnell. And they had just received notice that they were going to be retrenching and closing the mill. And there were 390 permanent workers who were going to lose their jobs. And there was so much. And there stood this gentleman there, you know, talking on behalf of all these people and their plight. And I did a small Facebook live video. And I said to him, would you say a few words? And he came on and he had such appeal that that video went crazy. Yeah, so you spoke to the people, and that's how, you know, I remembered that moment. So you know what, I think our region can recover. I think we need some fiercely, insanely committed individuals to create something extraordinary, and I'm hoping that this region's going to step up. Yeah,
I think the Independent Alliance has a huge opportunity in this election coming. The challenge is to communicate to voters that local government is about doing things.
Yeah.
And that neither the ANC nor the people who left the ANC and are now in the MK have proven over the last 35 years or 30 years that they are good at getting things done. Right? If you can get that message across, guys, you're casting your ballot today for people who are going to get things done. Basic things, not complicated things, basic things. So let's do something different, because what we've been doing for 30 years hasn't been working.
Yeah.
It's been getting progressively worse. Obviously, identity and all those sorts of things are super powerful in South African politics, so there's a huge opportunity for the IA, and I wish them great strength.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. Thanks, Kwame and Warwick.
Thank you.
See you next Thursday on Uncensored.
Uncensored with Penny Faree is proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security.